Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today.
Good morning, radio friends. This is Brother Larry Knowles, and welcome you to another Redemption Time Bible broadcast. And I do appreciate everyone that's taken time to tune this way. This broadcast is dedicated to sending the gospel out across the airways and to teach and edify the saints through God's Word. And I do trust that we can be a blessing to you. And I do appreciate you being here this morning. Well, let me give you my church announcements from the church there where I'm a member. I belong at the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle, located on 1585 Mount Tabor Road in Maryville. Brother Rick Smeltzer is our pastor. We meet for Sunday school at 9:45 in the mornings on Sunday, and then at 10:45 for worship, Sunday night at 6 and Wednesday night at 7. I know God bless you if you'd come and be in any of these services that you possibly can. So now we're going to go ahead and have another song, have a song, and then I'll be back and we'll be getting a new judgment this morning, a different judgment in our looking at the seven major judgments in the Bible.
When I think of where I came from and how Jesus brought me out, from a life of shame and sorrow, lost in sin without a doubt, with all my heart I want to praise Him for the love He gave. When the precious hand of Jesus reached way down and lifted me from the depth of the pit, I tried so hard, but I couldn't touch Him. There in my despair, I cried so loud, and yet it seemed and so corrupt. God's hand reached further down than I could reach up.
Like a man locked up in prison with no one to go my bail. Every time I sought for freedom, all endeavors only fail.
until the Lord paid me a visit, unlocked my cell and set me free from the depth of the pit. I tried so hard, but I couldn't touch him. There in my despair, I cried so loud, yet it seemed he didn't hear me. Lost and undone, full of sin, and so corrupt, God's hand reached further down than I could reach up. Oh yes, his hand reached further down than I could.
I trust that was a blessing to you. That was Merlin Williamson and a Greek group he was with several years ago called Still Blessed. His hand reached farther down than I could reach up. And, of course, if you're still trying your best to get to God by reaching up, my friend, you'll never make it. You're going to have to accept his offer when he reaches down. He'll do that through the gospel and through the conviction of the Holy Ghost. And all you can do is just receive what Jesus has already done for you. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be back on the radio this morning for all that's listening. Thank you, Lord, for the song that we just had and for the group that sang it for us. And, Lord, we do thank you for every blessing of life that you've brought us this far. And we're looking forward, Lord, to going on and staying with you to the end and then spending eternity with you in heaven. Lord, I pray today that if there's one out there that doesn't have that promise and doesn't have that hope, that today, if they're listening, Lord, that you'll speak to their heart, bring them to a place of understanding their need of a Savior, and save them before it's too late. And then, Lord, some of your children out there this morning that may be discouraged and may be facing things that they don't know how they're going to get through, Lord, I pray that you'll just hold them in your loving arms and comfort them and carry them. Help them through the difficult days that they are living through. For those that are sick, Lord, I pray you give them healing according to your will. For those who have financial problems, Lord, you know how to work those out too. Lord, just be with each one that has a need for you. For those that have lost loved ones, pray that you'll bless them. Be with them. Lord, take the broadcast this morning. Use it for your glory. That's what we want to be doing here. We want to be glorifying and honoring you. And Lord, all that you do, we'll thank you and praise you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. All right, today we are starting a new facet of these seven significant judgments in the Bible. Now, there are more than seven judgments that are recorded in the Bible. There are many judgments, many kinds of judgments, many times that God has judged various people and various groups for various things. But there are seven that I believe is absolutely necessary for us to understand, that God has put in his word for us to understand. And some of them are not so easy. This particular one that I am about to present this morning and to begin has not been an easy one to study. It's not been one easy to understand without a lot of attention, a lot of meditation, a lot of asking the Lord to show me. And then actually the one after this, the next series that I do after this one, has been even tougher. So these are things that I would like to share with you. If you're really interested in knowing the Word of God and what he says about some things, I believe that you will find this to be edifying for you and will help you to know more about the Word of God and about what's going on with some of these. Today I want to begin the study of the judgment of the angels. angels will be judged. I have a couple of verses I want to share with you to get us started on this. In the book of Jude, verses 6 and 7. Let me just read those for you. Bible says that in verse number 6, it said, well, let me back up a little bit. Start with verse 5. Jude says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So we find that Jude is talking here about some angels that are reserved in darkness until the time of their judgment. So I ask you, do you believe that evil angels exist? Or do you even believe that angels exist at all? Let's look at what the Bible says. And again in 2 Peter chapter 2. I want to start reading with verse number 1. I believe Jude's writings will come a little more clear when we read this. It says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now, before I get to the next verse, I want to tell you who he's talking about here. He's talking about an apostate bunch of teachers. Teachers that once taught the truth. But now they have turned and they've gone the other way. And they are bringing upon themselves swift destruction because they are privately bringing in damnable heresies. They're teaching things that not only are not true, but are actually harmful and damnable, because the result of that is that they bring damnation upon souls. And that's who he's talking about. Someone who did not stay with their first admission or commission or testimony. And then he goes on in verse 4, says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So what did Jude say? He was talking about someone who was no longer in their original state, is he not? It said, and the angels, which Jude said, the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. So he's talking about some angels here that have erred from their mission or their purpose. Now let me go on just a minute, because I'm going to tie something together here for you. Verse number 5 of 2 Peter chapter 2 says, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. What happened in Noah's day? Before Noah's day, there was all of the things that happened in the garden. God had showed Adam and Eve, and Cain and Abel knew about the blood sacrifice and how that was required for sin. That was passed down to Seth, and his seed, and that eventually made its way down to the fact that Noah and his family were the only ones that still believed in the truth of what God had said to the older generations. What was it? It was a world full of apostates. People who saw, heard, knew the truth, and maybe even tried to embrace it. But then it was incomplete belief, and eventually they turned away from it and did something else. Then it goes on to say, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unbelieving deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, not afraid to speak evil of dignities. So I want you to notice how that this apostasy that has caused these angels to be chained in darkness and everlasting chains was referred to again here, and then in Second Peter he ties it to Sodom and Gomorrah. I want you to remember that, because it's going to become very important to see that a little further going on down the line. So, who and what are angels? Well, the only authority that we have for that, of course, is the Word of God. Psalms chapter 104, and verse 4. Well, let's just back up to verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great, thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest forth the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flaming fire. So, the Bible tells me here that angels are spirits. They do not necessarily have a permanent body. Also tells me that they were created beings. They are not procreated. They do not keep their race going. He created a certain number of them. They are eternal spirits, and therefore they do not reproduce within themselves. So what do we know about them? What is their purpose? First of all, can I tell you that they are messengers? In fact, the word angel in the original Greek here even means messenger. They deliver messages from God to men. We have some examples of that everybody pretty much accepts, except those that doubt the Bible and won't believe the Bible. Some examples in the New Testament were when an angel appeared to Mary and told her she was going to have that child, and even though she didn't know a man. And so it was that at the end of that discussion, she had the questions. He answered them, and then she submitted to the will of God. And then there was another one. There was Joseph, who, when he heard that Mary was going to have a child, he was going to put her away privately so that she would not be stoned as the law demanded. But before he could do that, there was an angel that appeared to him, again, brought him a message, and told him that that baby that she was carrying was not some other man's child, but was the result of the Holy Spirit overshadowing her. And then think about at Jesus' birth, how that the angels proclaimed it, how that they made it known to those who were not present at the scene. So they're messengers. And not only that, not only are they messengers, but they are also ministers. Hebrews chapter 1, we read, "And thou, Lord," beginning in verse 10, "and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" So they are ministers, and they are ministers to minister unto those who are heirs of salvation. That's the saved folks. You talk about a guardian angel. Well, I don't know if it's the same one all the time or not, but there's no doubt in my mind that angels do watch over God's children. And I can tell you times in my life that I know, had it not been for an intervening power, I would not be here today. So they're ministers, and they are ministering to God's people. And then not only are they ministers, but they also have a manifestation. In the book of Genesis, we find that they appeared to Lot. They had first appeared to Abraham. They left Abraham and went down to Sodom, and there they communed with Lot. And they tried to warn him that he should get out of the city. And so they were manifested as men, because the men in that wicked city came and wanted to take them that they might abuse them. Remember, they made Lot confess up to some things by saying, "We're going to sleep out here on the street." And Lot said, "Oh, no, 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 you got to come to my house." Because he knew what would happen. I don't know if Lot knew they were angels or not. They came to him as men. Maybe that's explained. I did not look it up, but I do know that the angels went first to Abraham, and then they went to Lot. In Exodus 3, chapter 2, an angel appeared to Moses. In Numbers 22, in verse 2, an angel appeared to Balaam. And then on the Emmaus Road, Jesus, who had manifested himself as spirit, because at one point he entered a locked room where the disciples were. Therefore, he was in spirit then. But he also manifested himself to those people in Emmaus as a man and even walked with them. And they recognized him when he offered his blessing over the meal that they were about to have. So we know that they can be manifested. And then I would like to mention one other thing. They do have a mastery. In 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 35, let me read that for you. He said, "And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord..." Well, let me back up just so I don't pull that out of context. Israel was surrounded, and they were in a very bad place. And it said, verse number 32, "Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it, for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 100 fourscore and 5,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, there were all dead corpses." So we find that these angels killed thousands in one night. In Psalms chapter 103, let me share that with you while we're close by. Psalms 103 and verse 20. "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments. Hearken unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. And bless the Lord, O my soul." So again, we find that here they're called ministers, doing the will of God, carrying out the commandments of God. So to summarize about angels in general, can I just say that first of all, they are spirits capable of human manifestation. They are very powerful in strength. They are created to be ministers of God and ministers of saints. So why did Jude say some were reserved in chains awaiting the judgment? Well, given their abilities and their strength that we've looked at, what's going to happen if they turn rogue? Very dangerous they would be. So, some are restrained. Well, what happened? Beings created expressly for God's purpose have gone rogue and ended up in chains. Did not the human race do the same thing? Created for fellowship with and worship of God, yet the majority of societies all through time have committed acts worthy of chains, judgment, and everlasting punishment until the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene. Sadly, the angels don't get that choice. Now, as we enter the last few minute seconds of this broadcast, thank you for being here this morning. Tune in next week. We'll continue this. Have a lot of long ways to go on this one. I trust it'll be a blessing to you. Before we go, sinner friend, if you're listening today, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I beg of you, if the Lord speaks to your heart, don't turn Him away. Ask Him to save you. Repent of your sins. He'll do it. I know He will, based on the authority of His Word. Now may God bless you until next week.